God revealed the answers to life's most important questions to Herbert W. Armstrong, one biblical doctrine at a time. Toward the end of his life, Mr. Armstrong wrote a summary of the Bible, a book he believed was the most important book since the Bible. 40 years after Mr. Armstrong finished writing Mystery of the Ages, understand how this book will make your Bible come alive. Next, on The Key of David.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the program. I'm your host, Stephen Fleury. I'll be subbing in for my father on today's show. Next year will be the 100-year anniversary of Herbert W. Armstrong's conversion to the truth. It all started for him back in, of course, he died in 1986, but his spiritual journey began in the summer of 1926, a summer when he began to ask himself some probing questions. What am I here for? What is my purpose? Who am I? What is God's purpose and plan for humanity? He didn't have the answers to those questions. It was not long after he started to ask those serious questions that he was challenged on two subjects, the theory of evolution and the Sabbath observance, or whether it would be Saturday or Sunday. And so these two challenges, they prompted him to immerse himself into a six-month night and day study of God's Word, the Holy Bible. And of course, as he said later in life, the study of God's Word continued throughout his life. But those initial 6 months, I mean, that abruptly changed his thinking on every subject, every subject. And he started to find the answers to these most important questions. Over the course of his long and eventful life, as he continued in that study, Mr. Armstrong truly did develop a unique understanding of God's Word and so many subjects that have just perplexed mankind. And this book right here, Mystery of the Ages, this is a product of that understanding. This is his life's work, basically. He produced this in the last year of his life, back in 1985. He died in early 1986. And he handed it out to sophomores at Ambassador College, and it brought tears to his eyes. He said, "This is the most valuable gift that I could give to you." He wrote about it all through that year. He said, "It's, I think, the most important book that's been written since the Bible." That's a pretty big statement. That's how important this book is. He considered it the most important work of his 50-year ministry. And those of you that know anything about Herbert Armstrong know that he was a prolific writer and teacher. He gave hundreds and hundreds of messages on TV, sermons. He wrote what must have been even into the thousands of articles, letters, booklets, books. And this one here is the most important one of them all. He said, "I candidly feel it may be the most important book since the Bible." This year is the 40-year anniversary of Mystery of the Ages being available. Well, it was actually not available for a number of years, and maybe we'll have time for that on a different program. We had to fight 6 years in court just to be able to print this book and distribute it, because those that took over the reins of government in the Worldwide Church of God following his death in January of 1986, they started dismantling everything that he stood for, all that he taught, all the programs, and many of them very popular. He was listened to, he was watched by millions and millions of people. The circulation for his magazine, his flagship magazine, The Plain Truth, was up over 8 million per month back in 1985 and 1986. But coming back to Mystery of the Ages, he handed it out after it was done being printed in the summer of 1985. And then on September 9th, 1985, just a little over 40 years ago, he gave it to the students at God's College, and it was to be used as a textbook for their learning so that they could understand the books of the Bible. Let's notice Colossians chapter 1. We'll begin our study of God's Word there. And as you turn there, please do get your Bible and read along with me. But as you turn there, I'll read to you what he wrote on September 12, 1985. This is Mr. Armstrong. He says, "It is my prayer that you will read Mystery of the Ages along with your Bible, that it will make your Bible come alive and understandable." He says, "I'm now in my 94th year, and I feel that this book is the most valuable gift I could possibly give to you. This book is a partial expression of my thanks and gratitude to you for being a co-laborer with me and with Jesus Christ." He said, "With all my heart, I do appreciate and thank God for your part with me in the wonderful work in these closing days." He got very emotional when he was handing this book out to those sophomores at AC. He's pretty emotional even in the writings all through that final year of his life as he talked about this labor of love. And he wanted to give it to the largest audience possible. This is Colossians 1 and verse 23. He says, Paul does, "If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which you have heard and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister." Paul here is telling the brethren of God. Now, you've got to stay grounded on a sure foundation spiritually. You've got to stay grounded in the truth. Jesus said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." Verse 25, "Whereof I am made a minister, according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you, to fulfill the word of God." That word dispensation, according to the dispensation, and you can look into the meaning there in the Greek, it means stewardship or administration. I mean, this was, God gave him, Paul, the mission to reach the largest audience possible in his day. And he gave that same charge to Mr. Armstrong. Notice verse 26, it says, "Even the mystery which has been hid from ages." I mean, here's where the title of this book comes from. Mystery of the Ages. It has been hidden. Paul said this to God's people. Most people are blind. You can read more about this in 2 Corinthians 4, verses 3 and 4. It talks about the God of this world in that passage. And it says the God of this world, who happens to be Satan the devil, he's blinded the minds of men. In the Gospel of John, chapter 3, it says Jesus came to this earth as a light to this world, but men loved darkness. This brings us to what motivated Mr. Armstrong to write this book. It's right there in the opening chapters of the Bible, Genesis 2, Genesis 3. We'll come to that in just a second, but it says here, "Even the mystery which has been hid from ages and from generations and now is made manifest to his saints, to his little flock." That's how Jesus described the true church. To a minority of people, a handful of people. It's been made known, this mystery. Thayer's lexicon says the mystery is a hidden or secret thing, not obvious to the understanding. When Mr. Armstrong handed this book out, he says, this is a book that it brings all the pieces of the puzzle together so that you can understand the Bible, which, as Isaiah the prophet said, is written here a little, there a little. You have to put the puzzle pieces together. And this book does that. And that's why Mr. Armstrong was excited about it, because it helps you understand the Bible. And the Bible is for our time today. It's for the last days, primarily. But why is there so much confusion and division about what it means to read the Bible, to study the Bible? You know, we're living at a time, by the way, where the Bible's popularity, it's rising here in the United States. The talk about religion, about Bible, there's a lot of that. And yet you look into the beliefs of denomination after denomination, and you see a lot of differences. You see a lot of different interpretations. Why is that? Why should there be so much confusion when it comes to religion? Verse 27, talking about this mystery and making it known to the saints, verse 27 says, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. I mean, this is what a true Christian is. It's one submitted to this administration, this stewardship, the dispensation, submitted to God's government, God's family government, and then Christ can live in you. And if he's living in you, he's living the same way that he did in the first century. Christ in you, that's a great mystery to most in this world, and yet mystery of the ages, will open your mind to understand the truth about what God is working on this earth. What is his purpose? Who and what is God? That's the very first chapter of this book. I was telling my students recently that you have all these ambassadors for peace. I mean, they're traveling around the world trying to bring terrorist groups together with the Israelis or whatever it might be. And as I said to them, if only they could read just chapter 4 of Mystery of the Ages, the mystery of civilization. I mean, that alone is a mind-expanding vision. You can understand why this world is the way it is, why there's so much evil, so much darkness, so much violence and crime, so much sin. I mean, we're just saturated in sin. It's all around, it's everywhere. And that's because the God of this world has, as Mr. Armstrong explains in here, surcharged the air with his attitudes, his impulses, his influence. The prince of the power of the air. Read it in Ephesians 2, verse 2. It's right there. You can understand. It just takes some digging into the Word of God. And you have Mystery of the Ages here to guide you in your study. My father wrote this in the Colossians booklet. That's all the literature we offer, by the way, is without cost or obligation. We want to give it away freely, just as Mr. Armstrong did. It says here, the feast of ingathering, or tabernacles, is about getting this message to the world, to gather in as many as we can. This is a festival that God's church observes every year, annually. It's called in the Bible the Feast of Ingathering. And you can see Jesus observing this festival in John 7, John 8, John 9, John 10. It's right there in the heart of the Gospel of John. It's a feast of ingathering, or tabernacles, and it pictures the wonderful world tomorrow when God's government will replace the government of men all over the earth, all nations. Revelation 11 and verse 15. It says here, and that will continue into the world tomorrow, where a major textbook in all educational institutions will be Mystery of the Ages by Herbert Armstrong. It says, anytime this mystery was revealed in the past, God wanted his very elect to make it known to the Gentiles. That's why God reveals it. He doesn't reveal it so we can just sit there and look at it and or enjoy it for ourselves. It's for the world. And that's the mindset that Mr. Armstrong had. And those Laodicean ministers that took over after he died, they didn't have that same mindset. They didn't have that vision. It was just the opposite. They wanted to, well, one of them said he had a Christian duty to keep Mystery of the Ages out of print. That's right out of the mind of the devil, who loves blotting out the truth. Verse 28 says, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. You see, living the same way Jesus did. Jesus said in John 14, 6, I am the way. Just follow me, Thomas. Just follow my steps. Follow my example. There was a lot of religious confusion in Christ's day as well. And he didn't show up and start shopping around for some denomination to join. He didn't show up and say, well, I think that the Pharisees here, they seem very religious. They might be onto something. No, he just came and he spoke the truth. He declared the Father. Jesus is true religion. Christians are followers of Christ. So if you're a Christian in name only and you're not really following his example, well, I'll just tell you, there's a lot of them in this world today. But you can come out of that confusion and learn the truth and understand the mysteries. All of these great mysteries of life. Who and what is God? What about angels and evil spirits? You're hearing more discussion about that today because we see so much division and strife and violence. We're seeing assassinations. Why is that happening? Who's behind it? Well, there's a chapter in here about Satan the devil and demon spirits and also the angels of God, the righteous angels. It'll open your mind to the truth. Mr. Armstrong, when he started distributing this, it only had a 32-month shelf life, but it went out to well over 1 million, this book. There was a hardcover version back in 1985, a softcover version. They ran it serially in the Plain Truth magazine. The first program, the tribute program they did 2 weeks after he died, The World Tomorrow, they advertised Mystery of the Ages and 107,000 people requested it. It was a runaway success, wildly popular, and yet the Laodicean government that took over for Mr. Armstrong despised it. They hated it. Today, I just want to encourage you, and I know many of you probably have your own copy already, but if you don't, I want to encourage you to call our operators and to request a free copy of this wonderful book for the 40-year anniversary of Mystery of the Ages. And it's more important today than it ever was because we're drawing so near to the return of Jesus Christ to this earth. You can look back on this history and see why that God was putting so much emphasis on it through Mr. Armstrong. All of that glowing praise, I mean, even the Laodicean ministers, the one in charge, he was heaping praise upon it a few months after Mr. Armstrong died, but that soon changed. He surrounded himself with all of these scholars, and they had contempt for God's truth. Mr. Armstrong didn't. He loved it, and he wanted to distribute it to the largest audience possible. Here he is on September 9th, 1985, presenting this book, hot off the presses. He's presenting it to sophomores at Ambassador College.
The Bible is like a book that had been sort of cut up into about 2,000 or 3,000 pieces, and you have to get them all put together in the right order, or you can't understand them. This book puts them together. And yet this book is only a synopsis. You could say it's the gist of the Bible. The synopsis, it doesn't cover all of it, but it covers the main thread of the Bible so you can understand the Bible and understand the other details when you read them in the Bible. It'll open up the Bible so that you understand it. That's what it is for. Make the Bible plain and clear and understandable. And God is such a great God when you come to really know him and who and what he is and how real he is. And I want to say that you need to read every word and you need to go over it more than once. You aren't going to get the full meat of this book in one reading. This is a book that after you've read it, you can read it a second time and then later a third time. This book is not intended to take the place of the Bible. It's intended to make it so that you will understand the Bible. You must read the Bible with it. And this is to make the Bible clear and understanding to you as you read it and bring its meaning out as you never saw it before. and I hope it'll be a blessing to you. I hope you will enjoy it. It'll give you great happiness and enjoyment. I hope you'll enjoy reading it. And I hope more than any other book you've ever read, except the Bible. And perhaps, in a sense, this makes even the Bible more clear and plain, and you'll enjoy the Bible more from now on. Will you forgive me if I get a little bit of thrill that this was then done? This book is out now. Today's a pretty big day in my life, when I can hand the copies of this book out to each of you.
So that was in September of 1985, 40 years ago. 40 years ago. It was out of print by the middle of 1988. And it was out of print until we printed it in 1997. And then the Worldwide Church of God took us to court to try to stop us from distributing this. And that litigation went on for 6 years. It was a grueling struggle. You can read all about that in Raising the Ruins. And that too is made available for free. It's exciting history because we were fighting for the truth. Fighting for God's truth. I mentioned that passage in Genesis 2. Notice this. This is about the two trees. We need more of this in religion today, because this is how the world as we know it was established. This is the foundation of what Paul calls the present evil world. That's not my assessment. That's the Apostle Paul, Galatians 1:4. A lot of people don't believe it. But he calls this world evil. And so many people, even religious people, think that it's good. Verse 16 of Genesis 2, "And the eternal God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat of it, for in the day that you eat thereof you shall surely die." I mean, this tree of the knowledge of good and evil, it's the way that seems right to a man, as Proverbs 14 says, but it ends in death, it ends in misery. We can't lead our lives based upon assumptions. We have to be, like Paul said in Colossians 1, grounded in the truth. That's the only sure foundation in this very unstable world that there is. Well, you know what happened here in Genesis 2 and on into Genesis 3. Eve, you can read it in Genesis 3:6. She took from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and she thought, well, this is good. This is right. This is pleasant. This is tasty. And she was rebelling against her maker. And Adam came along and did the same thing. And notice the action that God took. A lot of people in the world of religion, they can't understand this. Why would God, if he's trying to desperately save everyone now, why would he take this kind of action? Read it for yourself. Genesis 3, verse 22. "And the eternal God said, behold, the man is become as one of us to know good and evil. Now, lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore, the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword, which turned every way to keep or to preserve or to protect the way," it says, "of the tree of life." And so, as Herbert Armstrong explains in this book, it was at this moment that God closed off the tree of life, which symbolized the Holy Spirit of God, God's power, God's life, God's mind. Mankind was cut off from the Holy Spirit. And it was going to stay that way for 6,000 years. And here we are coming up to the very last days of that 6,000-year period. And you see a world just filled with chaos and confusion. You see religion, a Babylon of religious confusion, as Mr. Armstrong used to say. And of course, you see lots of crime and violence, just like there was on this earth in the days before the flood. That's described in Genesis 6. Luke 17 says that it's going to be just like it was before the flood in the last days, before the return of Jesus Christ. So this section of Scripture, what we just read, verses 22 to 24, this is a deeper understanding of this passage, is what motivated Mr. Armstrong to go to work on Mystery of the Ages in the last month of 1984 and then those first 5-6 months of 1985. He says in the author's statement of Mystery, "I had not fully and clearly realized the significance of the fact revealed in Genesis 3, 22 to 24, that in fact God had closed the Holy Spirit and eternal life to mankind in general until the removal of Satan at the second coming of Jesus Christ." This is a pivotal truth that even the traditional Christian religions do not understand. Mr. Armstrong says here he came to a deeper understanding of it. And that's why he set out on this journey to put together, under the inspiration of God himself, to put together this material in this book form, all the major questions, all the important questions in life answered for you in one textbook. It explains so much about the present evil world and about the wonderful world tomorrow. I don't have time to read Colossians 4, but Paul had his struggle and his war to spread and distribute the mystery. Go and read those last few verses, or the first few verses in Colossians 4. But since we're out of time, we'll close off there, and I will just encourage you again to call our operators today and request Mystery of the Ages. We thank you for joining us on today's episode of The Key of David, and we'll see you next time.
Less than 6 months before he died, Herbert W. Armstrong presented the most important book since the Bible to the Ambassador College sophomores. Request Mr. Armstrong's free book, Mystery of the Ages, to receive vital understanding about the Bible's core subjects, the identity and character of God, angels and evil spirits, mankind, civilization, Israel, the church, and the kingdom of God. This book will change your perspective on life. You will know the purpose for your existence. You will grasp your awe-inspiring future. The true meaning of the two trees in the Garden of Eden has also been a mystery to the world for generations. But the knowledge of the two trees was the very first teaching God gave to Adam. Request Mystery of the Two Trees to learn more about this profound subject. Request the Colossians booklet today to learn more about the parallels between God's first and last century churches. All of our literature is free and will be sent to you with no cost or obligation. Request your free copies of Mystery of the Ages, Mystery of the Two Trees, and Colossians. Order now. For the free literature, call toll-free 1-800-339-7629. For the free literature, call toll-free 1-800-339-7629. The preceding program was a paid presentation of The Key of David, brought to you by the Philadelphia Church of God.